Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, and Davey Hudson. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
My vision for 3 and Out is we want to be a big, fast, dominating, aggressive, relentless
radio show that everybody
in the SEC wants to
listen to.
That's my goal. These guys realize that we want to change the culture. They're hungry. These guys are ready to get started, and I'm excited about it. All right. Your expectations, all right, aren't near what mine are.
All right. All right. All right. All right. All right. All right.
Our program has the history, the facilities, the tradition, and the resources to play with anyone, anytime, and that's what we're going to do again.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Because your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, they're no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to. Place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world. Leave the real one far behind. We can dance.
Welcome into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, Friday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Kress, Billy Williford with you here on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Happy Friday, everyone.
Thank you. Thank you.
You made it.
I needed that.
We made it.
It's been a long week. And then last night, Kawhi Leonard just ripped my heart out.
Sorry, buddy.
We were on the brink, Houston.
3-2.
You know, an NBA series doesn't start until a road team wins.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're on the brink of elimination.
How the turntables have turned.
105-99, the Raptors over the Bucks last night in Milwaukee.
My Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, I'm not turning on them now. I think Giannis and company, they're going to dig deep.
I certainly was not implying.
Got to go on the road.
That you would turn on them.
I mean, when you're 2 wins away from a championship, Houston, you got to pull out all the stops.
Last game of the season, can't hold anything back now.
That's right. Exactly.
So they say. But if I'm you, I'm nervous.
Giannis has said, quote, "We're not going to fold." Good to know. I'm glad they're not just going to mail it in.
Yeah, you'd hate to see it just lay down and go to vacation or something. Yeah.
Did you happen to see Aaron Rodgers last night?
No, not last night.
Well, you know, he gained a lot of respect from me for his Game of Thrones take. He was given an extra role. I mean, he died, but, you know, quick and cameo-esque death.
Sure.
And he didn't sheep it up for Game of Thrones. When they asked him about the ending, he said, yeah, it was stupid. It was, you know, the guy who's on the throne didn't even have the best story. Anyway, we won't get back into that right now. But anyway, I had gained a little respect for Aaron Rodgers because, let's be honest, that whole family, kind of a bunch of punks, right?
Like, yeah, they've got their issues.
But I don't know what to think about him because he's kind of disowned the family. So I'm not sure if I kind of like his lone wolf arrogance or not. Anyway, I go back and forth on Aaron Rodgers. Just the player, the person. I don't know. It's a mixed bag. Last night, he's sitting in like the Drake chair, right? He's like on the front row, front of God and everybody, the NBA. Why you would want to sit down there if you're a celebrity, I don't know.
Maybe more security.
Maybe. Whatever. He's on the front row.
No one in front of you?
You got a lot of leg room. Well, sort of. You can't be on the court.
I feel like you'd want a box. Be by yourself. You know. It's an NBA arena. They're not exactly huge.
It's true.
Pretty good seat, I would think. Anyway, continue. I apologize.
So I don't know what was going on. I wasn't listening to the audio, but everybody picked this up and threw it on Twitter real quick after it happened. Apparently on the Jumbotron, they kicked it to one of his offensive linemen in the other side of the arena, similar type of seat. And he chugged a beer. I mean, you know, just pounded it.
Yeah, David Bakhtiari.
Yeah, just immediately. The thing. I mean, it
that was just a lemonade.
It was just gone.
Oh, he chugged two, actually.
Oh, did he do two? Wait, the first?
He chugged three quarters of the beer in his hand and then reached down and picked up a full one and just drank it.
Well, here's
the,
okay. So
and then I'm watching. Aaron right. picks up his beer. We'll put the timer on him. Holy crap.
You're going to have to keep running that timer. Oh, he doesn't even finish his beer.
It wasn't even a full beer.
No. Now watch. Kick it back to the offensive lineman.
Let's go, he says.
Where does he get the third beer from?
Buddy, people are just handing him beers.
Are they just handing him their beer?
This had to be a skit.
I don't know.
Aaron's playing to. He's playing for the people. He wants the other lineman to get the credit.
Okay. I don't think so. I think he's just.
I lied. It was three fulls for the big guy. Three completely full.
I mean, they're just down
maybe,
the hatch.
Maybe he went and bought three. He's a big guy.
Yeah.
Maybe he, you know, he goes up and says, hey, I'd like a beer. They're like, do you want the offensive line beer? They're like, yeah, the big cup. They're like, oh, we're out of big cups. But we can give you three regular cups. He's like, yeah, that'd be great.
Normally the big one's just 2.5, so you're getting a deal.
Yeah, you're getting a deal. And then Aaron, oh, gosh.
Yeah, he's got like, Rodgers has like, what, 3/4 when he starts, and he still has a quarter left when he finishes. I mean, he looks like he's taking medicine. Like, what are you doing?
I'm not kidding when I say it was a little over half a beer. Because, you know, the bottom of the cup is more narrow. So if it's full to the half line, that's actually.
That's true.
That's actually less than half.
Right.
And he was maybe a touch above the half line on a narrowing cup. Congrats to Bakhtiari, the beer man.
He crushed it.
He did. That was fantastic. I hadn't seen this.
Yeah.
That was great.
Too bad the home team didn't get it done.
Well, they won the beer chugging. You can hang that banner
if
you want.
Well, they won and they lost. I mean, those are both, you know.
Yeah, but they
Green Bay guys. Yeah, yeah they yeah, it's kind of orange and white game there, you know. You won and you lost.
Right. Even though they're both on offense. It's neither here nor there.
It's beer chugging.
Yeah, it's neither here nor there.
Right.
No, yeah, it was good.
Why do people say that? Neither here nor there for things like that. That doesn't make any sense.
Cuz it doesn't really matter. No one really knows. I'm sure I could look it up if you'd like. I just don't really want to.
All right. I feel like that's misused.
This, however, was not the most exciting thing that happened yesterday.
It wasn't?
No.
I mean,
a beer chug. Maybe during that game.
No.
I was
talking about the game, not actually the beer chug. I mean, that was the biggest sports thing that happened, surely.
I don't know. I'm not so sure. Because we may have seen the most devastating of all losses yesterday. In the SEC baseball tournament. And it happened to Auburn. You hate to see it. Poor Auburn.
Yep. That's what you get.
This to me, because they've already lost once. They got shelled by Vanderbilt. It's a double elimination tournament in the second round. Mm-hmm. So now they move on. They get LSU. And oh, buddy. It's the bottom of the ninth. One out. Runners on second and third. LSU at the plate, Auburn, wild pitch. Actually, I don't even think it's fair to call this a wild pitch. It was a low pitch. It bounced into the catcher's kind of gut. He did block it. Then he stands up, peels the mask off, can't find the ball. Why can't he find the ball? Because as he stands up, he kicks the ball. It goes betwixt the legs of the batter. The pitcher is looking over at third base as this happens.
Right,
he's checking the runner.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, buddy, don't you run. So no one sees the ball get kicked betwixt the batter's legs, and it rolls for days, absolute days, towards the dugout. It's a mad scramble. Finally, the first baseman, Johnny on the spot, a little late, but he was at least there, runs, slides, does a pretty nice like Indiana Jones slide grab of the baseball. Meanwhile, the catcher's on home plate. He still doesn't know what's going on. First baseman slides, grabs, and throws in one motion. The catcher doesn't see the ball again. I guess he just had...
Well, he's kind of got sliding into home at this point.
It was close. Yeah, I mean, he's...
The first guy's coming home. He's going to score.
But he's...
But Auburn's still fine. I mean, just tie a game. Get the outs and go to extras, right?
Yeah, you'd think so. But no, the catcher misses the ball.
Oh, no.
The runner from second is now advanced to third. The first baseman probably threw it a little too hard. At that point, you're not going to make that play. You should have just ate it. The first baseman should have slid, picked up the ball, and said, or just like a loft toss. You don't need this thing escaping.
Yeah, right.
You don't need it escaping.
If it's in the general area of the plate, you're going to be fine here.
Right. So it goes past the catcher. Now the third baseman's got to sprint over to the dugout, right in front of the Auburn dugout, and he just can't get there in time. LSU scores two runs in the bottom of the ninth. On a
how do you score
low
that
pitch?
Because you're right. It's not a wild pitch once he blocks it. Then he kicks it.
It's so got to be.
Is this just an error on the catcher? Like, is this the same thing as like if the catcher had thrown it back to the pitcher, like way over his head, and the guy scores?
I think it's an error on the catcher. I think it's an error on the first baseman.
First baseman.
And maybe another error on the catcher for missing it.
No.
It might be three errors.
There's only one
know.
Error on a throw. On a bad throw, you don't. It's either the thrower's fault or the catcher's fault.
I'm just saying.
On a play.
But there were two problems. Like, the fact that he threw it at all was a problem, but then the catcher could have caught it. And he doesn't. It rolls to the Auburn dugout.
That's a good point.
You know, it's so funny. We watched Tennessee play Auburn Tuesday night, and what did the announcers keep saying? Auburn, second worst in the league with wild pitches. Tennessee got like five.
Yeah, they bounced a ton of them.
This one, bad bounce. Bad bounce for the Tigers. Cost them two runs. Bottom of the ninth. LSU escapes. And then, of course, there's a mob at home plate. That is what that felt very Tennessee. Just the we got this game won. People were saying this reminds me of Dooley's first year. It's a pretty good point. You have the game essentially won. You just got to get two outs. And then not only do you lose, it's not like you gave up a home run or a double. You just threw the game away. Literally. Absolutely heartbreak. I feel bad for the Auburn players. They don't deserve this.
You hate to see it.
But I don't know what's the deal. Why is it when Auburn rips Tennessee's heart out, they then get put out of the following tournament in some kind of devastating fashion? They beat us in the SEC tournament, and do we remember the Virginia game?
Yeah.
The double dribble that ended up costing Auburn, then the weird foul. You put Tennessee out of the SEC tournament, you continue on in the tournament, and then what happens? Whew, this. LSU. Survive in advance. Auburn, got to work on those wild pitches. Or just catching pitches in general. I don't really know. I just know this was a mess. You hate to see it. Really.
I mean, the pitcher, somebody tweeted, like, the pitcher was absolutely useless this entire thing. Like, he ran into, like, cover home plate so the catcher could go get the ball. Problem was, the catcher didn't know where the ball was.
Right. Yeah, the pitcher, well, he kind of takes his time. And then, like I said, he looks back to third base as the catcher kicks the ball. I think it was him that kicked it. Yep, it was definitely the catcher who kicked it.
Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure it wasn't like a back step by the batter.
No.
And then the pitcher just runs a circle. He just loops around like a chicken with his head cut off.
Yeah, he's just freaking out.
And then it's over. Just like that. Take that, Auburn.
I felt like it was – it's almost like when you drop something in your car and it goes – like it, you drop it, right?
It reminds me of chasing a ping pong ball around when you're at like a party playing pong or something. Like you just can't quite grab it. You're kicking it around.
Well, I
it's
was thinking
it's under the couch.
Yeah, you drop. It's like you drop something while you're driving, and you think, like, let's say it's your phone, right? You drop your phone while you're driving, and you think, oh, it should be like right here, like on the floorboard.
Yes.
Like, all right, you know, okay, I can reach down and get this, but then. For some reason, as you reach down, then you like hit it with your or you either kick it or you hit it, and then bam! Now it's in the crack in between the seats, and now you can't get it. And now you're like, oh, I gotta. It's just
except in this scenario, while you're looking for the phone, you also turn the wheel and swerve into oncoming traffic.
Right?
Yeah, that was Auburn,
and your tournament
dead. Is that what you were
dies,
gonna say?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah,
you didn't want to go too far, did you?
It's like dropping something and thinking it should be in a certain place, but it hit your foot and you didn't realize it.
I mean,
and it's kicked away.
I realize it. You know, he's got the leg pads on, the shoe covers, and the heavy spikes. But you think you would feel your foot kick the ball?
Maybe. I don't. He's got to be like a hockey goalie there. You can't freak out and start flailing.
That's a really good point.
You got to just sit still.
I mean, he panicked.
He's fine until he kicks it, even though he doesn't know where the ball is. The pitcher could run home, pick the ball up, and probably tag the guy out. But once you just gotta be still. And look,
you got to keep your well. Yeah, that's the thing. If you don't,
if you start stepping around, you might step on the contact.
I mean, especially
you're
once you know you've blocked it. I mean, you know you've stopped it, right?
Yeah.
So at that point, yeah, you just
quit freaking out.
You freeze.
Freeze.
Their vision's based
just
on
get
movement.
Your head on a swivel, but feet have to stay still.
You got to get that mask off quicker too.
Well, I hate those kind of masks. That's old school masks where you like take them off. I like the new hockey
mask.
Therein
lies the problem.
You just wear the thing the whole time, no matter what. Just wear the hockey mask.
With the clear glass? Is that a clear glass?
No, it's a the hockey mask baseball thing. I mean, it's for baseball.
Right, but does it have the clear glass on it?
No.
It's still open air?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It has like the open air.
I got you. Just check it.
Viewfinder.
Lens?
Viewing area.
Lens area minus the lens.
The open air viewing area.
Open air.
So you can look through it. But it's small enough so that a ball can't
penetrate
into your... Yeah.
Don't want any balls in the face. I took one once.
See, that's the old school...
Billy, don't laugh at that.
Ball goes up in the air, you know, like fouled off right behind home plate. You had to take the mask off.
Yeah.
Identify where the ball was, then throw the mask.
I feel like taking the mask off is throwing. I mean, it's one motion. It's just
No. See, that's a big mistake. Because you think this is bad. Guys would take the mask off and just drop it. Then they'd realize the ball's over there. They'd move a little to their right.
And trip on the mask?
They'd trip over their mask. Watch some of the old school highlights. Guys, they take off the mask, find the ball, then throw the mask away from where the ball's going to land. Look up some old Johnny Bench or something, man. Yeah. See, this guy.
Mike Piazza.
He, like, took off the mask. And he's like.
It was bad.
Can't find it. Kicks
it. They're a young team, though. They're kind of like Tennessee, one of the younger teams in the league.
You know, when you mess up a play, generally a grounder, you know, people say he booted it. This guy.
I don't know what we call this.
I mean, he literally booted it with his boot. Like, just.
It almost feels too easy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Auburn. But don't ever knock us out of a tournament again.
I think I would rather
just pay the piper.
I think I'm just glad I would rather have been Tennessee in this tournament than Auburn.
Yeah.
Really, I'm completely
no, I mean
serious.
I'm with you.
Like, why would I want to win one game, then get shelled,
completely
then lose
killed,
in a heartbreaking
then, yeah,
fashion?
Yeah. I wouldn't. I'm good with the we were 5 feet short of tying the game. If that game's played an hour earlier, we probably win.
I mean, what were our guys doing last night? Just resting up
for the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Getting our
jaws healthy, arms healthy.
I can't tell if you're making fun of. Like, take it easy. He did. I mean, he had a surgery. Two plates in his jaw.
Sounds awful.
Yeah, it's got
to
be.
He still wanted to like dress out and stuff. I'm like,
yeah,
dude, chill.
Because he's a madman.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way.
Right.
Nothing but respect.
He and Henry Toa Toa, two tough guys now.
Play through injury.
Yeah, starting to identify.
But you need to be smart.
The real men on
campus.
It's a
fine line between smart and stupid. Maybe tough and stupid.
I feel like there should be a Butch Jones quote in here. Like, it seems like you're walking towards one eventually.
I meant to say tough and stupid. Fine line between tough
There's
and stupid.
There's some fell
and
on
brave,
a helmet joke or something.
Brave and stupid. Well, he almost fell on his mask. Does that count?
What if he had stepped on the ball and then rolled it away as he fell down? Like banana peel style. Now that'd have been something. One of my earliest memories as a kid is popping, like, is of using the old VHS player is popping in the football bloopers. VHS,
oh man, me too. Yeah,
and watching
awesome.
And a lot of the college
football funnies was my favorite. Oh. Was Chris Fowler. Was one of the first things he ever did.
I had one. It was mainly NFL stuff, but the funniest plays I always thought were the fumbles that no one could recover.
I feel like we haven't had one of those in a while in the game of football. One of those just like 50-yard fumble, scoop and fumble again and scoop and fumble again. Missed those plays.
Was Tennessee's fumble against Auburn?
That was pretty good.
It wasn't 50
and it
yards,
was Auburn.
But it was, yeah. It was kind of crazy.
You said yesterday was Auburn-centric. Today is victory lap around Auburn's grave.
There's that classic one. It's like the ball bounces away from the holder on a field goal. The kicker, like, starts to pick it up, and he bats it to himself. He regains it before being
crushed.
Tackled. But actually, right before – hasn't even been hit yet. He goes to try and throw a pass. As he rears back to throw it, the ball slips out of his hand. Then he gets killed. Then guys try to recover that thing for, like, 30 yards going the other way, and no one can get it. It was pretty funny.
I think they ended up getting the ball back on a change of possession. Or maybe. No. I think they recovered.
Maybe. I think that was in a Super Bowl.
Really?
Yeah. I think the one I'm thinking about was in an early Super Bowl.
All right. That was first down. It's now second and goal from the. Well, you're 20.
Good luck.
Yeah. Maybe you can get in field goal range with two Hail Marys here. Good luck to you, bud. Poor Auburn. Poor Milwaukee.
It's rough.
Tragic night all around.
Kawhi just went off.
Yeah, it happens. It's been a good series.
I know. This championship has just been something else.
You see Drake after the game said...
I hate that guy.
Kawhi? Or Drake?
No, Drake. I can respect Kawhi.
I think I hate Drake.
Yeah.
I hate the Drake.
Yeah. What is it with... He was like... They were showing videos from the last game, from game five. He was... Or game four. He was on the court.
Giving the coach a massage.
Yeah, he put his hands on the coach's shoulder. Like, got up, walked over behind the coach during the game... Look, I'm fine with famous people being on camera, right?
Yeah.
Of course, if he's there, the TV's going to put the camera on him.
Mm-hmm.
They did it a little too much, but it's Drake. I totally get it. Drake does not need to be touching the coach. Like, that crossed the line.
Right.
If a normal fan had done that.
Oh, they'd have gotten
Joe Smith. Oh.
Immediately.
If they're even allowed to get that close in the first place.
Right.
But yeah, they're getting batoned.
Uh-huh.
They're getting idiot on the field treatment, just tackled. Don't cross that line, man. You are a musician, you're a rapper, you're a songwriter. Don't step on the sports court. I get it. There's always been that tie, right? Everyone always says athletes want to be rappers, rappers want to be athletes. Drake, you can't be both. You can be a super fan, but you can't go be massaging the coach.
It's true.
When the Raptors go on a big run. I don't know. That one just really irked me. I have no problem with him super fanning for the Raptors. Although, in fairness, he also super fans for everyone else. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Wore like an Alabama jacket right before they got shelled. He wore a Kentucky. He warmed up with Kentucky for a.
I should probably feel pretty good about this. Toronto's probably about to choke and lose these next two games in a row, right?
I mean,
especially game six at home.
Well, that's what was so weird that they won game five after that. I mean, it felt like that. If there was ever a Drake curse,
I don't know.
You feel like walking up behind the coach and giving him a shoulder rub during the game would be
game six is back in Toronto. So he'll be going crazy as they try and close it out, which means feeling good about my Bucks again. Here we go.
I don't know, man. Toronto does have a unique history of just absolutely choking.
The girl beside Aaron Rodgers in those beer videos you're watching is the daughter of the Bucks owner, and she trolled him by wearing a Pusha T-shirt.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
Could you imagine if someone went behind Jeremy Pruitt to give him a shoulder?
He would do the...
the whiteboard. Hi-ya!
No, well, I was going to say the... Where
over
you
the
grab
shoulder.
Him and flip him.
Yeah.
The fireman flip.
Yeah.
Just the moment someone touched him, he'd be like, don't you touch me in a game. I'm working. That was weird, too. The coach didn't even really acknowledge it.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he was just into the game. But I feel like go do that to Pop, see what happens. He's going to turn around and slap you in the face.
Nick Saban would just turn around and like, what's the guy, the X-Man with the
Cyclops?
Yeah. No, wait. No, is that his name? Yeah. He just burned right through you with the eyes. Wouldn't he have to touch you?
X-Men, not your thing.
No.
Jeez.
I guess.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I don't know, like, the elaborate ones, but Jesus, Cyclops? Oh, who's the guy with the sticky things in his hands? The metal spikes? Is it Spike?
That's,
is that him?
That's Beast, right?
Sabretooth.
Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. You're still watching that video.
I feel bad for that catcher. He just panicked. Trying to make a play, trying not to lose the team the game. You know what happens when you panic.
Mm.
So it's to hold on loosely, but don't let go. He held on way too tight. Except when he was trying to catch it, then he didn't hold on to it at all. I don't even know if he put a glove on it. In fact, he didn't. He just missed it with a glove. All the guy has to do is sit back there and catch baseballs, and he gets one thrown at him from 12 feet away, and he can't make a grab. Maybe a little over 12. I don't know. It's just it was a panic mode.
It's like the slower the sport, and what I mean by that is in a like pacing
pace wise, yeah.
The better the meltdowns are. Like John Vandeveld,
Yeah, because
trying to win the Open.
They're so, you recognize them so much more clearly.
I mean, that was really like multiple things happening over and over, and so you had the time in between. I mean, like, and from a pace of play standpoint, golf is, I mean, is there a slower sport? Probably not, right? There are games, maybe, but not
curling?
Real sports.
Curling?
I mean, it's about the same. Curling's about, like, putting. You only have to walk to your next shot, though.
I feel like one curl lasts longer than just about anything else. It takes longer than a drive.
Well, you know, the curling meltdowns are pretty epic.
It's on ice. It's dangerous.
Yeah. I remember the first curling I ever watched was in the Olympics, and our boy, Big John Schuster, was playing Norway. And I had no idea if any team was any good or where we were. I think it was the first game of the whole event for the USA. And it came all the way down to the final shot, and he threw it all the way. Schuster overthrew it all the way through the house to lose. Like, he needed to catch, like, the 8 foot. And you just watch that thing. And this whole, and I've been watching, like, on the computer, too. You know, way back. Like, it wasn't even on television. Mm. And this thing, I've been watching for hours. And this comes down to this last shot. And it's basically like, okay, just hit the target, bro. And he overthrows it. And it just, because it's ice and it's sliding so slowly, but it won't freaking stop.
Yeah, but.
It just makes you want to rip your claw your
eyes.
Yeah,
but there's not like the panic. You know what I mean?
Oh, there's panic.
I mean, there is, but it's, I don't know. Like when Spieth hit that one into the water leading the Masters a few years ago. And yeah. It's just, oh, buddy. And then he does it. Again, off the, you're just like this. It's hard to watch.
Well, it's like when they hit the green and it starts backing up and it starts rolling towards the water. That's more. It's like, oh no, oh stop.
Well,
I'm just talking
about like the personal meltdown.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah.
That. It's hard to watch Spieth in that moment because mm-hmm. he's just, especially after number two goes in and then three. I think he puts like on the rough or the sand.
Well, that's
behind
like
it.
Vandeville when the ball's in that little burn and he starts taking his shoes and socks off. And you're like, this guy's lost it. Like he's lost.
Yeah,
it.
It's like, buddy,
he like gets down in there.
You got to stop. You got to stop it. Stop the bleeding now.
Yeah,
but you also can't look away. That's how I felt rewatching that Auburn clip 1,000 times last night.
Baseball is like. You get that a little bit in between. Like if a team, we mentioned that Ole Miss allowing 9 runs with 2 outs. Like, can you imagine all the in between moments of that rally? I mean, that's
a long burn. That's a long burn meltdown.
So baseball,
that's a Chernobyl.
Yeah, baseball,
long burn.
Baseball can be a little bit like golf in that you can the actual mistake themselves are fast, like shanking the ball, like yanking a ball left into the weeds, right? But then there's that whole delay between that and your next shot, right? Like that and the next pitch or the next batter. It's pretty similar. I don't know. It's something about this. The slow meltdowns are just epic.
Like Tennessee, Florida this year with the 6 turnovers and the 2 pretty much turnovers.
I mean, usually it doesn't happen that way in football.
No, I know.
You're right.
I'm just saying that was a whole game meltdown.
Like you knew something bad was going to happen.
After like the third bad thing happened.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, well. Here we go. Let's just get another one in here. Oh, there it is. One more.
It was
there it is.
It was the fumble that just completely.
The one where he just got crunched?
No, where we're about to score a touchdown and, you know, tight ends.
Austin Pope.
Yeah,
he's tracking down the
sideline.
Sorry, I wasn't sure which fumble you were talking about.
Sure, either. That
was a good play, though. That was a good one that Helton drew up.
I was trying to find some optimism, and I saw a aggregation headline, quarterback coach explains why Jared Garantano's gonna be better. It's his coach. Like, come on.
Oh, like the guy in California,
the guy
or whatever?
With. Yeah. Yeah. Like, come on.
What does he say though? Does he have good points?
Oh,
does he have any good points in there?
Said something about it. No, his footwork's cleaned up or something. I don't know.
Oh.
I believe this stuff when I see it.
He has time to make his footwork look good in those drills.
Well, they put out a video like I don't know. This guy annoys me a little bit. Like, just coach him. You don't have to market for him while you coach him. Isn't that
it's kind of weird, too. I mean, I guess what he's doing is making sure everyone knows that, hey, I worked with this guy so that if he has a good year, he gets some credit.
What if he
sucks
again?
That's what I'm saying. What if he has a bad year?
I mean,
do you disown him?
Did he work with this guy before?
I don't know.
I don't think I'd take credit for Jared Garantano just yet. I just wait. And if he does well, then you got time to take all the credit.
Well, he is the second leading returning passer in the SEC statistically, according to Pro Football Focus.
That's true.
And he was great on play action.
Great on play and big time throws. in case you forgot. Not to mention, he didn't have an offensive line.
He's a big-time thrower.
You jerk. He's a thrower, not a shower.
Billy's a big.
That was funny. I'm a Garantano apologist.
Time out. That was funny.
Thank you.
And Billy loves him some JG. He's. Do you have all?
Are you? Are you a sellout for JG?
I've always made the argument that he was the best option on the team.
Well, come on.
Last year?
Yeah.
That's a big limb to walk out on. I mean, that thing is thick, heavy. I think you're good there.
Yeah, I mean, no offense, Billy. I don't know that many would argue with you about last year.
Billy's the opposite of Davey Hudson.
Maybe
Davey
now.
Hudson's like, Jonathan Kongbo, first-team All-American. And Billy's like, I think JG's the best quarterback on the team.
The coaches thought so. And then once everyone saw Chris against Missouri, they should have thought so.
I will say Chris did get the ball out quicker.
Yeah, into the hands of the other team.
Yeah, that was my argument.
JG does not make the big mistake.
He
makes the big-time throw. That's what he makes.
Big-time throw.
Yep. He's a thrower.
That was really
Did you
funny.
See the throw he had at the Manning Passing Academy last week? The corner route?
Oh, that's the one I saw on Twitter, I think.
It's a dime. No rush.
Complete air. No one was. Yeah. Do they have.
Yeah, but it was. They were throwing to a spot, and he threw it perfectly to the spot in line with the receiver. It was a great throw.
At the Manning Passing Academy, so is it quarterbacks and receivers? How come we never get a list of, like, all the stud receivers there?
I don't think it's receivers, is it?
Well, who catches the passes?
I think it's just high school kids.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know. It's like, you know, when they would do Gruden's quarterback camp or pass. Yeah, they would. It was like some local workout warriors running routes, and then the quarterback.
All right.
I guess.
They used to do that at basketball clinics.
Sean tweets in, says he agrees with Billy. JG, way underrated. Give him a good O-line and watch out.
Watch out.
I don't know if underrated. I think he is unfairly criticized.
That's a good way to put it.
But I don't know how to rate him.
He definitely gets unfair criticism.
Is Georgia a worse team if Jared Garantano was their starting quarterback last year?
Absolutely. Now you're walking out on a limb.
You think they would have lost a game that?
You said were they worse?
Oh, they have the same record.
Okay, well, that's a different argument. Let me check the schedule.
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I don't know how to grade Garantano. I don't feel like it's very fair.
Wasn't Fromm really, really good against Alabama?
Well, I don't think Tennessee has that much of a different year last year if Jake Fromm was the quarterback.
I think I agree with that because I think it's everything around him that we don't really know. We just don't know. I mean, Jared Garantano with time to throw to better receivers and a running game could be awesome. I just don't know. Haven't seen it.
Yeah.
That's what I mean by
it's hard to argue the results part of that. But, if I'm picking teams, I'm taking Jake Fromm.
Like, and that's fair because you've seen him with a good team. My whole thing with Garantano is I just don't think we know.
Well, his issues he's had, though, have been those. I heard about those issues before he ever played a snap at Tennessee. So he's obviously had this hold on to the ball during the headlights issue, even all the way back to high school. So that's maybe I'm a little jaded because of that. I don't know. We'll either find out this year or there's going to be
maybe his
some
high school team stinks. Maybe they couldn't get open.
Okay. Final segment, hour number one. I feel like when things go bad, like it did a good bit of last year on offense, it leads to people kind of having to basically swear allegiance to one camp or the other.
Everybody wants someone to blame.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Yeah, it. So a lot of people either went with offensive line, Tyson Helton, Jared Garantano, a little bit of all three. You know, whatever.
Well, the quarterback, regardless of who they are, is going to get a bunch. Like, so, who was the last quarterback on a losing team that everyone was just like, well, it's definitely not his fault at all?
Archie Manning. I don't know. I just
I bet there were some Saints fans.
There were some Saints
who
fans.
Hated Ole Arch. Just saying. They won't admit it, but at the time. That's just the nature of the position. Not to be too, I don't know, philosophical here, but it just kind of, that is what it is. Quarterback, leader of the team, face of the program, blah, 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 blah. Praise and blame, it's all the same. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But, not to beat this dead horse, I still don't know enough about what's around him to project anything for Jerick Garantano this year. And I think that's what makes it so frustrating. I think fans, if you had a redshirt freshman just stud coming in and you felt like there was hope, I feel like people would be really excited. And you would kind of project like, well, once this guy gets in, we're gonna be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to look at this roster at the quarterback position and say we're gonna be just fine, but we could. But I think it just hinges on literally everybody else. Because I don't think he's horrible.
I think last year for me the coaching, the offensive coaching deserved probably the bulk of the blame.
Do you mean play calling and offensive line, like teach coaching? Those two?
Yeah, both of those. Not so much play calling, like not. I don't mean picking which play to run when, but the style of offense they tried to run with those limitations on the offensive line.
Right.
And that's Pruitt deserves some portion of that blame. I don't know
sure
how much. It depends on if Tyson Helton was walking into Pruitt's office every single Monday or Sunday saying, "Coach, we cannot run the football with this offensive line.
Please stop.
Please let me try and get the ball out of JG's hands quicker, and let's use the short passing game as a running game." And Pruitt was like, "No, I want to run it up in there like we said we were going to do, Tyson. This is what I told you in the interview we were going to do." Like,
draw up your 3rd and 13 plays.
Like, if that was happening, then Pruitt deserves more blame. If Pruitt said, "Hey, I want to be a physical football team. I want to run the football and then push the ball down the field, work it out however you want," and Tyson Helton had control of it all year, and that's what we got, then he deserves almost all the blame. It's somewhere in between those two things. I don't know which. And I think Jeremy Pruitt, by rehoming Tyson Helton, admitted that as
well,
much as you'd ever
do. And we talked about
do.
This last year. It may be one of those things that really hurts in year one, and then in year two, if they're able to run it this year and they keep the same palette, so to speak, offensively, but it works. Maybe you look at last year and say, okay, that really, really stunk. It was like wearing braces. But look at us now. We got straight teeth. Look at us now. We can get 3-4 yards a carry. The problem is going to be if they either scrap that plan and you look back and think, why did you waste all that time? Or they continue the plan and it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think people over value that, though. Like, I mean, these linemen, the concepts are the concepts. They're not that hard. Like, I think it's more about their development as individual players and bigger and stronger and how to play the position. I don't think Jim Chaney's going to run a lot of different concepts for the linemen. So I think it will build
know.
On last year.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, did we have just like 50 run game concepts, and he was just trying to call kind of all of them, whereas some teams maybe simplify that down to 20, but they're much better at it?
Yeah, I don't know.
So if we keep those 50, are we just better now and also more multiple because we have so many options, or are we still stinky?
So I wasn't able to do these numbers collectively as a team, but last season Tennessee only had two games where an individual rusher had over 100 yards in the game.
Mm-hmm. Game one, Tim Jordan.
The last time that happened was 2003. So in every other season, like, they had at least a game where a rusher had over 100 yards more than twice. So it was just bad.
It's awful, yeah.
Woof.
And obviously, then that goes back to our conversation last segment. Sets up your quarterback for failure.
Yet somehow we were better at play action.
It proved, well, that guy, the study came out that said play action does not depend on whether you run the ball well.
That's
at
true.
All.
That's
at
true.
All.
That's true.
And I believe it.
It's just a half step that you're trying to get off a linebacker or a safety.
It makes no difference whether you run the ball well or not. the play action works because it just
it's a
freezes
cue.
Everybody.
Yeah, it's
and,
a cue.
And no matter what, they have to respect that that might be a running play.
And if Tennessee's running it, you want to go in there because you're going to make a big play.
I wonder if the next, like, so Sean McVay's kind of this new generation of offensive minds in the NFL. I wonder if the next round of young defensive guys, they're going to actually teach their defenders to not respect play action at all. Like, can you train a human body to not break on the running back until you're sure he has the football? Like, not even watch the quarterback. So as the quarterback goes through his fake, and it was the – I think it might have been the Rams and the Chiefs played. I feel like the first, like, 45 plays of the game, there were, like, six runs called. But they play action – like, the Rams didn't run the ball at all, but had play action, like, seven times before they actually ran the football.
Yeah, I remember that.
And but it was still working. Linebacker still sure. – when Goff would go through his
well,
fake –
well, that's, like, the best time to do it because, like, oh, they got to run it sometime.
See, yeah.
Seven times in a row.
So, I mean, are we going to start training defenders – that, like, no matter what they do, because the game's so pass-happy, you might as well play pass.
I was going to say.
It used to be.
10 years ago, no. Now you're better off to play pass until you're sure it's a run.
These old-school guys, I mean, even like Belichick, got to stop the running game. Got to stop the. Once you stop the running game, then you can come after them on third and long.
It's just not true anymore.
I mean, the game eventually is going to change where it's, no, we're always rushing the passer, and if you hand it off on the way, we'll try and reach out and grab that guy, and, you know. That's the way to beat people now is, like, let them get 7 yards a carry if they want, as long as there's no carries over 7 yards. Like, just make them go all the way down the field, hope you get a hold, a penalty, something.
Yeah, force them to actually do it and execute.
Yeah. And, I mean, hell, the NFL's getting to the point where if you force a field goal with some of these guys, it's a win. We'll come back. We'll kick off hour number two of the program, talking some Tennessee football, a little quarterback bouncing around. It's a fun Friday edition of 3 and Out.